Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have Mr. Tony Wofford ministering to us tonight. And let me just tell you a little bit about Tony. He was a U of I graduate, or still is a U of I graduate. He works at the Potlatch Corporation. I do have to say he has a fascinating job. If you want to find out about a very unique job, talk to Tony. It's just incredible. Keeps the whole place going. Yeah, he's an incredibly smart guy and part of a national association that you would never imagine that it even existed. But he's a specialist and does a great job down there. He's also on our Council of Elders and does a myriad of other things like lead custodial crew and ministers in carpenteries and Bible foundations and serves as a small group leader. And very special to my heart, he's my neighbor. So, you know, we're friends. So, Tony, please come and minister the Word of God out of the rich deposit that's in you.
Thank you. Trent gives that word about being broken, and you know, in this last song, I'm just feeling this thing just being crushed in my soul, and I couldn't even name it, just things happening, and then he comes forward and talks about breaking. It's like, here we are. Well, welcome back. For those who have been gone, Happy New Year, especially to the students, to everyone that was gone, but especially to our students. We want you to know that here, so I can see you better. This place isn't the same without you guys, so welcome back. This family is not complete without you, so thank you for coming. And for those of you who were gone, especially Zeef, Pastor Phil had some awesome sharing that night, and I want to review that a little bit, or share that with those that were gone and review it for those of us that were here. He talked about something new in 21-2. Now think about that. He could have done so many other things. Here's some possibilities, okay? Buy a Malibu in 21-2. How about that? Oh, I guess we already did that. Get a tattoo in 21-2. That? Get a tattoo in 21-2? No, let's not do that. Get a new do in 21-2. I saw a couple new do's around New Year's Eve. Train a Shih Tzu. Did I say it right? How many people have those little mob dogs? How many here? Admit it. There we go. There's one. Okay. You know, they're pretty cute. They're pretty cute for a... Learn Kung Fu in 21-2. How about that? You know, that was we watched Kung Fu Panda 2, right, New Year's Eve, and it was a pretty cool movie. The only bummer was all that. I was like, you know, they had all these the towel and all these different things. It's like, can't we just do this without all that stuff? But you know, Disney's got to get their little thing in there too. But anyway, so I am grateful, however, with it, given those options, I am grateful that our senior pastor settled with something new in 21-2. He went on to talk about this being a year of significance. Where Jesus is the reason for everything. I love that. He talked about newness in Jesus this year. He talked about something being new in intimacy with Jesus, in your listening to Jesus, in your obeying what he says, in radical Christian living, in your love for Jesus, and in him. And I think you also talked about being intoxicated in him as well, didn't you? All right. So, as I was thinking about these things, and this really me last Wednesday night during prayer, Rick Grunewald wrote all those things on the board. Prayer is an awesome, special time, and Wednesday night is a cool time. Am I fading out here as I turn? Oh boy! I already told the guys if this doesn't work, I'll do a handheld to be just fine. But anyway, so we talk about newness in the Spirit, freshness in the Spirit, an outpouring, a new moving. There's a kind of a that kind of covers that. Who can tell me what that is? Nancy Grunewald used that in prayer tonight. New wine. Did you know what I was preaching on at all? Oh, she prayed my message. It was so cool. I'm sitting back there and I was like, wow. Can I take this off?
Oh, I did it. And I'm going to do this over here. Walking this way. Aren't our sound people great? Oh my gosh! You know, that was one thing. I've done a bunch of different things over the years, but that was one thing I volitionally and selfishly chose never to do, and that was do sound. Because you know what happens when something goes wrong? You know where every eye looks? Bang! Right there, and you're in the hot seat. And I couldn't handle the pressure. So thank you very much, Joe. God bless you guys, and the projectionist people, and the light people, and you guys are awesome. Okay, so anyway, new wine. Yes. New wine, kind of a for like I said, for those who've been around the kind of charismatic Pentecostal circles, that's a great term, new wine. I did a little research and found out that in the United Kingdom, that's the name of the biggest charismatic movement there is new wine. Isn't that cool? Oh, you're awesome. Hey, but you know what Jesus did with this? Fruity, a little oak flavor. Okay. I have a confession to make. Maybe I showed this before. Someday in heaven, there's two things that I'm looking really forward to having. My long hair back and being able to drink with impunity. But anyway. Okay. New wine. Confession. Okay. We were last summer, we were in Rapid City. Rapid City, South Dakota, and we were waiting for the kids to come down for this ride, and so we went over to this winery coffee shop and to get some coffee, but they had samples, and they had this sample of this stuff called, I don't even say it in church, it was a red donkey, another name for donkey, rhubarb wine. Oh, it was good! I'm going to stay away from that stuff. Anyway, don't we want the fresh outpouring of the Spirit? Don't we want the new wine? Don't we want His holiness? Don't we want His glory? Don't we want that? I mean, we sing about it. We pray for it. Don't we want it? Of course we do. Of course we do. I want it. But you know what? As with all things, well, I won't say all things. As with a lot of things, there's a catch. In the three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, also known as the Synoptic Gospels, because they kind of jive with each other really close, Jesus shares a parable about new wine. And we've all heard it before, but we're going to read it again. New wine and the vessel required to receive it. All right, how's that verse? Luke 5, 37 through 38. But no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled. And the new skins will be, or the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into new wine skins. Okay? Now, with integrity and respect to Scripture, this was one of two parables that Jesus spoke in all three of the Gospels in response to a question about fasting. And the bigger picture here, he's talking about the relationship of the old covenant to the new and different things happening there. But as we all know, parables say more than just one thing, don't they? And we can look at this, and he makes a statement that I think is really powerful. And again, this has been preached on before in a lot of places, but there's something I want to focus on here. And the last one he says, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. New wine must be put into, fresh wineskins. Some translations say new. Okay. So what's that mean? Now, obviously, it talks about him bursting. Why would it burst? Because the old wineskins were brittle. And the reason that was an issue is because new wine is still fermenting. And so it's putting pressure. And the old wineskin wasn't soft enough to handle that growth and volume, and it would break and spill it out. So that doesn't work, okay? So what's it mean, though, to be a new wineskin? There's a condition there. New wine must be put in a fresh wineskin. You need a fresh or new wineskin to put the new wine in. And we want that new wine, right? Okay. So new wine. So I did a little research. I found a company in Spain in the same city where they do the Running the Bulls every July, right? And I think they had a little new wine to do that, too, some of those guys. But I did some research, and they still hand-make wineskins. It was really cool. And I found there was three main parts of the process that I want to talk to tonight. And again, the title of my message was New Wine, right? But we're going to focus on the wineskin for a little bit because it comes back to the new wine. How do we become vessels to receive that? So I'm going to start with the first step, a real big happy upper here, and that is dying. Crucifixion. I put a natural term here and then the kind of the spiritual counterpart. Crucifixion. Now we think, okay, Jesus did it once for all. Praise God. Amen. Right. And we are saved by grace and grace alone. I'm not talking about works here to earn your salvation in any way, type, or form. But I am talking about a death that God has for us. Remember, in the natural, obviously, to get a skin, to become a new wineskin, unfortunately, something has to die, right? Okay, and usually, in this case, it's usually a goat. I raised those when I was young, and so I kind of get this picture here. Anyway, we talk, so there's a death that happens, of course, in the waters of baptism, right? And water baptized for circumcision of heart and what? Baptism, Bible Foundation 1 students? Circumcision of heart and remission of sins. All right. Okay. Amen. And where our old man is an old sin nature, that old Adamic nature, we just talked about this in classes, it's buried with Christ and we rise up a new creation, a new creature in Christ, right? Amen. Awesome. But there's more death to take place in our lives, unfortunately. Paul talks about dying daily. Let's go to Romans 8:13. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Okay, and this is something taking place after salvation, after water baptism, something taking place in that sanctification process. I'm going to talk a lot about that. Colossians 3:5, the beginning of the verse says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." And then Galatians 5:24, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And the New Testament seems to give an indication that there's a point along the way in your walk with Christ that you're totally dead to those passions and desires. They don't even affect you anymore. That's kind of mind-boggling to me. I would like that. I'm looking forward to that day, and I'm pressing forward to it when I'm not there yet. In the last few years, so we're talking about dying and dying daily and these choices to die, putting to death what's earthly. In the past few years, I can praise God, I've praised the Lord that I've experienced some real breakthroughs. We talked about breakthrough earlier. Some real breakthroughs in my thinking and my thought life. I've known Jesus for a lot more in just the past few years. And I was really talking to God and I said, what's the deal? Why has it been so long in coming to start seeing some breakthrough here, start seeing some freedom and real victory, ongoing victory? And he showed me, you know, and I've been prayed for, I've gone through deliverance, been accountable, doing these different things, and they've been good and they've helped immeasurably. But still, struggle. Now, I'm not saying that I'm all totally free and there's no struggle ever. But especially in some areas where I'd chosen to go and where I'd chosen to take my thinking, starting to see some breakthrough in the last few years. I asked God, what was the difference? He said, because you finally, in addition to repenting, which is always the key, right? Which is always the key. In addition to repenting, you decided to let it die, to let it go. To see yourself as no longer having permission or authority to go that way. Even though I wanted to. And still want to sometimes. But he says, it's not an option. It's not an option. You want it? No. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. What about you? Maybe it's your thinking. Maybe it's where you let your mind go sometimes. Maybe it's seeing yourself, or you know, images and beliefs. You may be seeing yourself as a victim of circumstances, or your job, or your boss, or your marriage, or spouse, or something like that. Something you see yourself as a victim. Maybe it's criticalness of others. Maybe that's a place, something that you need allowed to die in your life. Maybe you've held on to a habit, even an addiction, that's held you in bondage. Maybe it's a non-marital, and I stress that, a non-marital relationship you're in that you've held on to that's blocked you from being really free to abandon all to Him and to receive His new life, His new wine. Could be a lot of things, and the Holy Spirit will help us to know what those are, and generally we have a good idea, right? What needs to die in our lives so that we can experience the new wine He has for us. But something has to die. Okay, let's get on to something even better here, okay? The next stage, okay, so something dies, you now have a skin. What do you got to do with that skin? It needs to go through a process known as scraping. Scraping. That was very interesting. So you have the skin, and by the way, I also had the privilege of growing up. I worked on a mink ranch for a little while, and I'm not here to debate the animal rights type of thing. And frankly, I love animals, and not too long ago, I killed a mouse in our garage, and I wasn't happy about it. The thing was cute. I mean, it's a mouse, but it was cute. But mink, you worked on a mink ranch, and after the things are beautiful creatures, and they anywhere from there to about that long, and very soft to touch. But the thing is, they were vicious. They were vicious. And after the first dozen times or so of being bitten, you didn't mind so much where they were, their end result, you know, where those guys were going. They were going to turn into pelts. Yes. We wore gloves that were double layer. I mean, it was like a big mitt. No fingers, big mitt. And then it was double layer of real thick leather. But you brushed up against that cage and you knew it because Mama's right there and she was buried her teeth in your fingers. And it was pretty amazing. But anyway, so animals have to die and then that skin has to be scraped. What's being scraped off? Two things, the flesh and the fat. The flesh and the fat has to be, and it's done with sharp knives. Sharp knives have to scrape it off. Why is that? Because the skin itself is the only part that can be turned into something that's useful and that will last. The fat and the flesh is perishable. It'll rot. In fact, it's interesting. In the New Testament, a definition of the flesh is that which is corruptible or perishable. That which will rot. And remember again for review, the process that we learn in Bible Foundations, the Carpenter Series, the process when we are saved and we get a brand new spirit, that's called what? Starts with a J? Justification. And then at the end of the process, we get a brand new body, right? And that's called glorification, the salvation of my body, right? But that process in between, sanctification, right? And that process of the transforming, the renewing of my mind. And when the Bible talks about the flesh, usually it can be this, but usually it's talking about that part in that process that's being changed, that's being transformed, but that's not quite there yet, right? So when it talks about saying no to the flesh, okay, so we're talking about scraping again, right? Here's some verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the first part of the verse. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Your sanctification. He wants us, his will, you want to know, I want to do the will of God. Well, his will is that we move forward in that process. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. 1 Corinthians 15:50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. It has to be scraped off. Finally, Galatians 6:8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. I always view that as a big sin issue. You know, gosh, if you sin, you're going to pay the price, basically. And that's true. That's very applicable here. But it's also just dealing with sowing to that which isn't permanent, eternal, of God in the Spirit. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Okay? I have a story for you. A scraping story. New Year's Eve. Pastor Phil shared about newness and these things, and I'm excited. I'm still excited. I was excited then. And then a little while later, it's roughly about 10:30, 10:45-ish or whatever, I go back there and I see the pop can container where we throw the empty pop cans getting filled. And I'm thinking, newness, this year, instead of letting it overflow like I have the last 20 or so, I'm going to take that bag out and start a second bag. And that way, we won't have a big mess back there. And by the way, you know, if someone sees me carrying this big bag, that's kind of cool. And boy, pop can's going to make a little noise so people might notice too. That's kind of cool, huh? So I'm thinking, This is easy. You know, this is mega brownie points here. I'm going to pull this bag out. I'm going to take it up to the mechanical yard, quick trip, get back and make some, put a few little jewel dust in my crown or something. So I did that. And on the way out, I found out, however, that instead of going to the mechanical yard, this bag needed to go to the family center. I was like, oh man, okay. That's all right. What's that? Reach? Yeah. Yes. GJ is very happy if we don't put cans in the mechanical yard. So anyway, I put it. I got up to the ramp, put it out by the ramp, a door outside, because I forgot something. Came back in, came back out, lift up the bag, and there's a puddle of pop on the ramp from this bag. And I was like, I'm panicked. What am I doing? I thought I could throw it over. No, that'll make a mess. No. Okay. So I just grabbed it and ran in my boots to the end of the ramp and figured I'd come back and do damage control later because I left a trail. I knew it. And took it over to the family center, left it outside in the dirt, went inside, got another bag. Hey, I'm gonna do this right. Got another bag, double bagged that whole thing, went through the door, down the hall, by the water fountain, across the gym, into the custodial closet across the gym, turned on the light, and I am pouring pop out again. And I look back, after I threw the bag in the sink, I look back, and I've left not drops, I've left a trail of pop as far as the light shines into the gym. Okay, Jesus. I got it. I'm getting this. I'm picking up what you're putting down. And I go into the lunchroom, and I turn on lights there so I can see back to the gym, and same thing, trail. Trail, it goes all the way across the gym, comes into the lunchroom, all the way in the lunchroom, onto the mat, through the doors, a little roundabout by the fountain where I took a little drink in the dark, of course, all the way to the front door. And then there's another puddle there where I set it down when I was locking the door behind me on the mat. If you're wondering why one of the mats was missing, it's because that's one of the things I did was take care of that. Anyway, now for those who were there at the very beginning of the New Year's Eve party, remember my little spiel about the cardinal rule of spills? The first thing you do on carpet is clean it up. I knew you'd remember that. I looked at this line of pop, and I was like, oh man. And by now it's roughly 11 o'clock or so, and I was like, First things first, I'm thinking, I go grab a bucket, and I damp mop, and get some water, and I damp mop the gym first, get that, and then I come back to carpet, and I'm thinking, golly, you know, looking at the time, and I'm gonna have to get the shampoo, and I'm finally, this is confession time, okay? I have been critical when people have spilled or tracked in stuff and not cleaned it up. And I looked at it and I go, I'll do it tomorrow. Okay, so confession made. Let's move on. So I come back across to the ramp and I see the trail of pop. By now it's about 11:30, like I said, or roughly around there. And I realize if I leave it there in about half an hour, people are going to be leaving. Some people at least the sane ones. Where's my son? Who stayed here all night? You crazy people. And so I got him. I went down, got another mop, went back up there with the bucket and mopped the whole thing. I started from where it meets the parking lot, came back with hot water and everything, and got back and I looked and it was still there. So I went back and mopped it again. By then it's a couple of minutes to midnight, came back, cleaned the mop out, dumped it, came down, celebrated the New Year's, hallelujah, took care of some things, went home. Next morning, come here, got the carpet shampooer. God's trying to say something here, but I really don't want to hear. I just want to get this stupid thing done. Got this carpet shampooer. Took it across. Took it over there. Walked across the gym to get the hot water to put in the carpet shampooer. Looked down. There's still residue from the pop all the way across the gym. So I fill up the mop bucket. Again. I put a little soap in it. Mild. Damp mop. Scrub all the way across the gym. Get done with that. Put it away. Go to the shampooer. Start pulling things and getting it set up. I'm missing parts. Jesus, this isn't fun anymore. I called Pastor Joe. I go, Pastor Joe, I'm looking for the extension cord. And he said, yeah, I know, Tony. When I used it, I didn't see it either. And I go, no problem. I'll find it. Found it. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. God loves me still. Plugged it in. Pre-treated. Started doing the stream of pop. Okay. And then as I did it, I did the first couple feet. I was getting nice and clean strip. And on either sides, brown mud coming out of the carpet. Because I, who am responsible to keep this clean, haven't done my job. And here I have a mess. And so then I realized at this point in time, it dawns on me that I can't just do that strip all the way through. I need to shampoo the whole hall all the way there. So... Now, something else Pastor Joe had told me at one point in time, a couple days before, was that the jets weren't working right on the sprayer attachment, and so it was kind of leaving the strip, and so I had that figured out. I was going to be smart about this. I was going to overlap a lot, and that way I wouldn't have those problems. Okay, so I did that and started working my way down, and I did take a lunch break, and I helped Robert for a little bit. By the way, for those of you who think how noble I am cleaning up my own stupid mess in the family center, Robert Lentz spent most of his New Year's Day at the family center working on the roof and other problems that didn't relate to him at all. He's just blessing us as a body. So thank you, Robert. Are you here? I probably just took a jewel from your crown, but you have so stinking many you could probably afford one. Thank you. So I did run home, get a quick bite to eat, help Robert for just a little bit, and got back on the job, was triumphing down, made it a couple, about halfway down, looked back, and, you know, in the front, first part starting to dry, strips of brown. Finished shampoo. I did a different technique. Should I tell this with Pastor Joe listening? I lifted the wand up and sprayed so I wouldn't get the, you got the idea. Okay. Anyway, I did it. Finished the hallway, came back, redid the first third or half, whatever, again. Cleaned up, took it back. By now it's dark. Went home. I was broken. He talked to me about grace. He talked to me about having compassion. He talked to me about what real service is. He taught me some things. And it was painful. It's still painful. My back hurts still. It was painful. He scraped some things off. He did a work in my life. And you know what? I am not thankful for how I spent that day, but I'm thankful for what he did in my heart. I'm thankful for that. What's the Holy Spirit? What circumstances is the Holy Spirit using to work on your life? What painful things? Maybe it's a little one-time thing. Maybe it's an ongoing thing. Could be a health issue. Could be a relationship issue. Could be, again, those things I talked about. You know, maybe you see yourself as a victim of one of these things. Maybe that's what God's using to bring the knife close to the skin, to scrape off the fat and the flesh and that which will rot. Are you letting him do his job? You know, here's the other thing about, and Tommy alluded to this. What a powerful message that Tom Fitzgerald preached Sunday morning. And this, and we're going to tie in more to it. In fact, I even stole a verse from him a little bit here. And he talked about having to be close. And you know what? That's the thing. When the knife comes, I have a choice, don't I? I can back away because I don't like it because it hurts. Or I can, okay, God, do your work. Do your work. And he will. And he wants to. But there's that sense of closeness and that sense of choice. Okay, let's go on to the final stage in the preparation of a wineskin. Tanning. Tanning. And I call this transformation. Now, notice that before I said scraping, I equated that with sanctification. This is all sanctification. This is all about transformation. I'm just trying to categorize a little bit if I could. Okay, the natural wineskin, when it's been scraped and clean, it still needs treatment with both chemicals and oils to make it soft. And according to the description on the website, it helps it turn into an inorganic product that will not rot. Isn't that interesting? And isn't that the work that he's doing in us? To transform us more and more into his eternal image? That which won't perish? That which isn't corruptible? That which is forever? And how does he do that? Scripture speaks of how Christ loves his church and gave himself for her. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by his word, by the word, his word. Ephesians 4:23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. It's from the inside out, like we're saying, isn't it? And then this is the verse I stole from Tommy because it was so good. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is an intimate process. Okay, remember? So dying's kind of out here. I can kind of choose that. And I need his Spirit, yes, but there's still it's a lot centered around me. Scraping. I have to let him come close, don't I? I have to press in close to him and let him come close to me. But tanning is the most intimate process of all, where he has to penetrate and come in deep. I have to allow him to saturate. It involves our deliberate choices, as Cheryl Mitchell prophesied on New Year's Eve, to look for him, to seek him, to draw close to him, also as Steve Stone prophesied last Wednesday and tonight. And trusting and allowing him to saturate every part of us with his Spirit and his word. The result is the softening of my heart and learning yieldedness and responsiveness to his Spirit and lordship and becoming an increasingly soft and pliable vessel for his new wine that we all want. I'd like to conclude with this verse. New Year's Day, New Year's morning, before my little project, I was spending time in the Word, and Proverbs, our first reading was Proverbs 1, and it has this verse. It says, Proverbs 1:23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. As I talked to Jesus about this, he showed me the incredible promise. Not only if I responded with repentance at his rebuke or correction, but also simply as I respond to him, as I continue to make choices to die daily and allow him to put to death that which doesn't please him. We heard about that tonight. As I continue to allow his scraping and sanctifying work. And finally, as I continue to choose to embrace him and his word in intimacy and trust and allow him to transform me more and more into his image and his likeness. His promise is to me, to all of us, is that he will pour out his spirit to us. He'll fill the fresh new wineskins of our lives with his new wine of freshness and new wine of power and new wine of anointing. And we want that. We want that. We need that. Without his new wine, we're no different than any other group. There's been lots of churches through the ages that started with new wine and let it settle. And I found in my research that you know, we always hear that, you know, a wine has to be aged before it's, you know, only a small percentage of wines are even need aging. They gain anything with aging. And even then, there's a limited lifetime for most of them, almost all of them. And after that certain lifetime, they start to degrade. But most wines, the new wine's the best. But it's so easy to start with whether you just got saved or a new move of the Spirit and sit on that and hold on to that and not reach forward, not allow him to continue his process in our lives. Let's let him do that. Let's let the dying process take place and make choices as he leads. Let's let the scraping happen. Let's let the tanning and the saturation with the Spirit take place. I want to finish in prayer in just a moment, but before then, I would just say, I pray. I want the new wine, but it's all of us. It's all of us making these choices, and praise God, it's a together thing. It's not an alone thing. It's together. You know, you've heard my fun thing for that was just that 2 weeks ago. I haven't told you the fresher stuff. But as we embrace the process together, that's what releases the new wine in your family. In your dorm, in your apartment. That's what releases the new wine in this church, in this local expression of his body. That's what releases the new wine out into Pullman and out into Moscow so that change can come. That's what we want. That's what we want. So my challenge is receive, embrace what he's doing. After the service, if you need prayer for anything, there'll be some here to pray for you. But let's do this together. Let's make this a year of something new. New wine. Something new in 21-2. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. Thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you that you love us so much. You love us so much that you don't let us stay where we are and where we've been. But you want to change us because you want to fill us anew. Move, Holy Spirit, upon each of our hearts. Move in this congregation. Move in this region. And pour out your new wine. And be glorified. Oh, Jesus, we love you so much. Amen. Thank you very much. You're dismissed. What's that?
Didn't Tony do a great job? Come on down here for a second. What a powerful message. Is this guy a teacher or what, man? Learn some ideas why you need a new wineskin because of the fermentation takes place. It has to be able to stretch. An old wineskin doesn't stretch. But what a powerful message on how to be the vessel that receives new wine. He's not going to just pour it on the ground. He's looking for vessels. God's looking for vessels. Will we be that vessel? A new wineskin, but we have to go through a process. Are we dying daily? Are we willing to allow the flesh to be scraped off? And the way he described it being scraped off, it isn't always the easiest thing, is it? but it's the best thing. I couldn't help, as you were telling that story, I was just in my mind just crying, because if there's anybody who deserves some great stuff from God, it's Tony, because this man is a servant of God. This man would serve and serve and serve and serve and serve. I cannot believe the heart of a servant that's inside of this man. And I thought, oh my gosh, when that happened, you got to be kidding me, Lord. Why would you do that to him? He has done so much for everybody in here. Honestly, I wish you would have called us. We all would have come and helped out, seriously. I mean that, but hear the heart of a servant who could have said, Lord, after all I do for you, this! And God said, yeah, it's because I love you. It's because I'm scraping some stuff out of your life. Ever go through some tough stuff, mad at something, somebody, something, some issue? Maybe it's not that thing, that someone, that issue. Maybe God's scraping some stuff out of your life. And then being tanned. Getting close to Jesus. Hallelujah. Tony, that was an absolutely... I've never heard a message like that on a wineskin. Telling us the whole process. And all, that was absolutely incredible. Give another great hand, everybody. Bless you. Well, let's embrace. If we want new wineskin, we got to be if we want new wine, we have to be a new wineskin. So look forward to it. Don't bemoan it, but realize when God does it, He does a good thing inside of us. So let's enjoy the new wine. God bless you.